And good morning and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ. It is January 26, 2025. We welcome you out there and we appreciate you being here with us this morning. The message that we just heard by Pastor Peters was there's more to see in the Gideon story. And I really enjoyed that message. He hit a lot of different points in it. Fantastic message. I think that that's one that I'm going to make available as a standalone message. If you'd like that, just write to us and request it. There's more to see in the Gideon story. I think it's a good introductory message. Well, there's a lot of meat in it also, but it's a good one to share. So wanted to say that. Got an email this morning. Wanted to share this with you before we pray. I want to pray for Mary in Texas. I got an email from her this morning, and her son are in the process of starting a new business. And a couple weeks away from getting their small business loan, and she lost her job yesterday. And it just, boy, it hit me hard when I read that, and I know that that's a devastating, hard thing to go through, and a bad position to be in. Well, I don't want to say bad position. It's a maybe a frustrating situation to be in. So as we pray this morning, I want to pray for Mary and just pray that, and I want to ask you out there to pray with us as well, that the Lord just open the doors that need to be open and he works us for good. And also just continue to pray for those that are battling these fires out in California. There's more fires that have ramped up out there. Do appreciate you keeping that in your prayers. And also wanted to say thank you for letting us know and when you're getting your Dragon Slayer newsletter. We were able to, I got a lot of responses from it. Seems like a lot of people started getting it on Monday. Monday and Tuesday of this last week is when people were getting it. So mail is getting a little quicker. But do let us know when you get that. Do appreciate that as well. And with that said, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a song, and then we've got a message by Brother Zach. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. And Lord, we look to you, and we put our trust in you, we put our faith in you, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to do a mighty and just work across this land. Father, we lift up our leaders to you, and we pray, Father, that you make them do what you want them to do. We pray, Father, that you just grab a hold of them and that you put them in proper order. We pray, Father, that you use them in a mighty and powerful way. We just lift them up. We come and lift them up to you, and you know who the good ones are, and you know who the wicked ones are, and we just ask, Father, that you deal with them justly and righteously as we come before you lifting up this land. And we want this land to be a God-fearing land once again. We pray, Father, that we can raise up a generation better than ours. We pray, Father, that you just give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We come before you and we lift up Mary and her son in this situation that they're dealing with. And we just pray, Father, that you open those doors that need to be opened, that you close the doors that need to be closed. What needs to happen in this situation, Father, we just ask, Father, for your hands to be at work. We give you the praise and the glory, and we just ask, Father, that you assist and that you comfort and that you give wisdom and knowledge and understanding and strength and encouragement in these times. Lord, we pray, Father, for those that are battling these fires out there in California. We activate that prayer filter and we say, just, Lord, bless those that need to be blessed and curse those that need to be cursed. Lord, we pray, Father, for you to make all necessary corrections to our prayers. And we lift up those people that are fighting for their property, fighting for their lives. You know the situation. Those that are out of their houses, we just lift them up to you, and we ask, Father, that you just be with them and that you protect them and that you strengthen them and that you encourage them. We know that there's a lot of things that are going on in this world right now and in this land. And Lord, we come before you and we just ask that you continue to guide us and direct us, draw us closer to you. We pray, Father, for a healing of this land. We desire it and we just ask, Father, for you to give us more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. We're going to start off, do things a little bit different this morning. I found this song, and it was it's a song, but it's an introduction with a song. And it's one that Pastor Peters did quite a few years ago. And I like variety, and I hope that you like the variety as well. But I thought this was definitely worth sharing. It is Showers of Blessings. We'll have that coming up right about now.
But we've got an assembly out there and here of the Gideon group that are becoming the Lions of Judah. And the establishment that those Edomite children of sons of hell have established in this land, Esau, Edom, your establishment's coming down. Amen. It's going to be replaced with the kingdom. And so we got some militant Christianity here saying we want Jesus Christ to rule. Do you agree with that? Now, one of the prayers that we've been praying this week, or at least we should have been praying, I don't know about you, but I have been, and that is for God to change the curses of the cursed children that they've been leveling on us. Ever since I can remember as a child, they've been doing it. In fact, I got a song that I'm going to play for you that occurred to me by the Holy Spirit earlier this week as I was working on this sermon that they had us singing and dancing to because they were planning to bring us down low, low. And they had been working on us, and I remember back in the 60s, they were anti-establishment. Now, this is before many of your time, and they were tearing down the establishment because they wanted their establishment. But now we come back in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the Gideon group, and we are now praying down curses on the cursed children. What a unique concept, huh? Holding God to his word when he gave it to old Abe, whose name was later changed to Abraham, and he said, Abe, I will curse those that curse you. So why not hold God to his promise? And so I hope you've been praying that prayer. Lord, curse those that have been cursing us. And Lord, change their curses that they send on us to blessings. Have you been doing that? And then it came to me this week to add a little bit to that prayer, so I'm going to tell you about it now. It occurred to me that the Bible says that we should not bless those that curse the Lord. But yet the deceptive spell that's been cast into this land, they've got so many spell-casted Christians, more Judeo-Christian, actually more Judeo than anything, but they have been told that if we bless the Jew, God will bless us. And so they've been sending blessings on the cursed. So I said, Lord, while we're changing things around here, change the blessings that the ignorant sheep are sending into curses. Hallelujah. Our Lord can change curses into blessings and the blessings that shouldn't be sent to the cursed into curses. And you know what? I can feel the blessings flow, can't you? And with that little sermonette, we sing. Showers of blessings. Sing with us, won't you? And welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ this Sunday. Hallelujah.
There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessings. blessings we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing if we let God have His way. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Our Heavenly Father, we do. We plead for your showers of blessings. Change all the curses those cursed enemies send on me, my family, this ministry, your people. Change them to blessings. Oh, Heavenly Father, and then we will smile with you in the heavenlies as we watch our enemies bless us. Because our God keeps His word, and we know it, and we claim it, and we call for it to be done. Change their curses into blessings. And Lord, those ignorant ones that are blessing the cursed, change those into curses. And Heavenly Father, I've already instituted the prayer filter today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would move those out there that join us today or even later on the DVD church or whenever this message is heard to activate that prayer filter so that we not bless those that ought to be cursed, that we not curse those that ought to be blessed. And Lord, take every one of our prayers and adjust them accordingly. And we thank you for doing that. And Lord, we thank you for giving us what we request, showers of blessings. Lord, we got a few mercy drops of fallen, but we want a downpour. But bring a gentle mist now and bring that rain next weekend.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, January 26, 2025, and we are going to begin by defining who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is our King. He's our Lord and Savior, and He has an identity, and just like you and I each have an identity. We all come from somewhere, from someone, and if you don't know that, then you're just, you believe anything. So, as usual, we're going to start out in John chapter 1, verse 1. And I begin by reading, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And that is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. So, as many of you know out there, we have had the swearing in of our 47th president, the second term of Donald J. Trump. Honestly, as I said last week, I wasn't too spun up about it. But when you have a cat like that in office, and just the way his first term went, and some of the things that he did with his executive orders, I mean, as I told you, I don't really pay attention to the news a lot at all. You know, I heard some of the things that he did. He made declaration of the Mexican drug cartel, defined them as a terrorist organization. When a guy like me hears stuff like that, that actually makes me very happy. I do, from time to time, happen to see the effects of overdoses and that sort of thing. And it's good that we try to clean up our streets. And that's a good move, in my opinion, from a president. And, you know, when you see something like that, I got to admit, I got to admit, I just couldn't help myself because, honestly, I do love my country. I love my kinsmen. I love the foundation. I love our history. And when you see some things going on, even a guy like me that's been in a mental bunker, checked out for as long as I have, the last 3 or 4 years, it's hard for me not to snoop in and just kind of peek, see what's going on. But there's some other things that I've been noticing. And I was telling Brother Jason about this earlier today. And we, as a nation, have a younger generation. Now, most people sit there and they just say they're worthless. They don't have a good work ethic. You know, they don't really have a whole lot of positive things to say about them. But if I was in my early 20s right now and I was looking at the housing market and I was in a blue-collar job, and I would sit there and let's just say I made 60, 70 grand a year gross on a W-2 income, you're not going to get into a decent house for no less than, at least around here where I'm at in the Midwest, you know, you're looking at anywhere from 270 to 350K. You put 10% down, you're over a $2,000 a month house payment or more. I don't even know. I don't even know what the interest rates are right now. Probably 8, maybe 6. I don't know. It's a pretty big hill to climb. It's a hill that I wouldn't want to climb. And I don't think many of you older folks out there, they're so tough and got everything figured out, I don't think you guys would want to climb it either. To establish yourself, put your stake, make your claim in this great land of America. And I think you're a little bit hard on them. But I've been noticing a trend. Now, these are young people. There's a young individual. I know his dad. I've known his dad my whole life. I think he was 2 years younger than me in school. I've known him for over 40 years. I knew his dad, and he's on the, excuse me, he's on the internet, on Instagram or TikTok. I don't remember which one. I'd have to ask my son. He'd tell me. But I know this young man's dad and grandfather, and I know they weren't the most biblically educated people, but this kid just decided to start an online Bible study here in my hometown. And my son and my daughter, they are involved in it. They've done all this on their own. And from what I understand, and I'm not really saying anything, they're just reading and discussing. And I'm just watching it, and this actually makes me really happy. And this kid that spearheaded it, this young man, I'm very proud of him. And then another thing I've seen, I'm stopping, getting a shot of coffee, and at a local gas station here, and I think this was last Sunday, and I walked in there, and there was it looked like an 18, 19-year-old couple, boyfriend and girlfriend. And I looked in there, and they're sitting in the cab, and this guy had a Dodge pickup. And I look, and I see this young lady, she's got a Bible open, and she's reading it out loud to her boyfriend, I assume. And there they sat in the parking lot, and I walked in and I walked out, and it continued on the whole time I was there. And just kind of judging, I'm not a judge, you know, I don't judge judge books by their cover, but just by the vehicle, the way they were dressed, they didn't really look like they came from a very churchy group of, or a very churchy family. They just didn't have that appearance. You know how you can just kind of get one of those feelings? And there's a couple other stories I got that are like that, that I've witnessed over the last month or so. These are all good signs. And when I see a president making certain moves to put our country first, righteous moves, I can't badmouth that stuff. Now, is he doing everything right? Is he? Probably not, but I don't do everything right either, and neither do you. And one of the qualities that we must have as Christians is the ability to have an open discussion with somebody, take in what they say. Now, whether you agree with them or not is irrelevant. So let's just pretend you don't agree with their philosophy on a particular topic. And if it's just not outright sinful, you know, then maybe that individual you're talking to is right and you're wrong. And one of the things that Christians, men, have a hard time with is to do a self-examination of themselves and admit that they are wrong. So there's a level of humility. You always have to possess a level of humility. So it's 2025. We're a quarter way through the 21st century. We got a brand new president that's all fired up. There's a lot of people that are fired up for him, with him, and they have a lot of good motives. So what are we to do as a ministry? Well, first thing I want to do, I want to take a moment and pray. Because if we got all this stuff that's new, then I say we ourselves as a ministry need to reestablish why we're here and what our motives are. So let's begin by praying. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and our King. Lord, we just pray that you use this ministry as you see fit. Lord, we just pray that we, as a body, humble ourselves and understand that you are King, and there is nobody else in charge except for you. Lord, we pray that you bless everything that we do. Lord, we pray that you forgive us of our sins. Lord, we pray that we will be a mighty tool in your hand in these next coming years. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles with me, we're going to start a series. I don't know how long it takes. It might take 6 months. It might take a year. It might take 5 years. I don't know. But what I need from you out there is to inform other people what is going on here. You people are in charge of advertisement out there. We here at the ministry will handle the information being presented. Order DVDs, order CDs, order books. I don't know about books. I don't know if a lot of people read a lot of books anymore. They like to listen. But we're going to go back to basics. We're going to reestablish the foundation of this ministry's faith, not reestablish. Look at it again. We're going to refresh it in our mind. And you might ask, well, how are we going to do that? We have a ton of great material out there. You know, as I was sitting there going to get ready, just all of a sudden something came over. I was looking at one of my books from the ministry. And I was like, okay. You know, it's like, it ain't too often that I actually think God talks to me, but it's actually one of the times that I think God talked to me. And I don't go around there, and I'm not one of these holy rollers on TCTs and television or whatever you want to call it and think God talks to me all the time. I don't think that. You know, I get the system. I'm busy. God knows I'm a knucklehead. Half the time, even if he does talk to me, probably wouldn't hear it anyway. But we're going to go back to the foundational principle. And hopefully, Lord willing, God will use this ministry and other ministries that are listening to us. Hopefully they get the same basic idea and follow suit. So, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about salvation today. Actually, you know what? If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Well, we just identified Christ. He's the word that became flesh. So you got to know the word. That's what we're going to do. So what I'm going to do today, and for the next couple of messages, I am going to read out loud. There will be no narrative on my part. The first booklet I am going to read. If you, any of you have ever ordered the introductory pamphlet or booklet or folder from the ministry, this booklet's in there. It's called Abrahamic Covenant by E. Raymond Capps. I'm going to read it out loud, word for word, for probably this message and the next one. But, as many of you know, not a very good reader. Probably take me a third one. So, if you don't have it ready this morning, that's fine. But I encourage you to get a copy of this booklet, order some from the ministry, buy some and hand them out, and then people can go back and listen to the messages. But I say again, you people out there are in charge of advertising. You are the marketing leg of this ministry. Before I start reading, let me explain something to you. In business, you have action on the job, you have the bookwork, selling the job, billing, all that other stuff, and you have marketing. There's actually three legs in business. You people out there are the third leg, which is marketing. Get out there and market. That means open your mouth. Do cold calls. That's what I was doing all last week. 90% of everybody told me no. 10% told me yes. Get used to hearing people say no. Be those predestined savages that we talked about last week. I begin my reading, The Abrahamic Covenant by E. Raymond Capps. Almighty God said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Let it be noted that this covenant was an everlasting contract. Concerning this covenant, it is said in Hebrews 6, verses 13 through 20, that because God has sworn it by an oath, and because it is impossible for God to lie, the covenant is immutable. The covenant was unalterable, unchangeable, and everlasting, which means it must exist today. Read the entire covenant in Genesis 17, and you will find out, you will find it not only concern the worship of all the land from the river Euphrates to the river Nile, but also overshadowing all else. It was a covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee in their generations forever. We can comprehend what that means. It has not been revoked. Now note that the covenant was made not only with Abraham for his lifetime, but also with his seed forever through Isaac. Genesis 17, verses 8 through 24, and Romans 9, verses 7 through 9. And through Isaac's son, Jacob. So we find the everlasting covenant made by Almighty God with Abraham, Genesis 17, verses 4 through 8, was established in Isaac, Genesis 26, 1 through 5, and was ratified and confirmed to Jacob, Genesis 35, verses 10 through 12. Special attention must be called to the fact that the covenant was absolutely unconditional, unalterable, and unchangeable. It did not depend on what the descendants of Abraham did, nor did not do. The covenant stands forever on the oath of God. Abraham was also promised a tremendous number of descendants. Three symbols are used in Genesis to describe the number. The dust of the earth. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Genesis 13, verse 16. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad the west, abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 28, verse 14. The stars of heaven. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Number three, the sand of the sea. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Genesis 22, verse 17. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Genesis 32, verse 12. God later changed the name of Jacob to Israel, Genesis 35, verse 10. So his descendants, who are the inheritors of the covenant, were hereafter known as Israel. Jacob had 12 sons, which each had of his own family, Genesis 35, verses 22 to 26. These families developed into the 12 tribe nation of Israel. Jacob, thereafter called Israel, loved Joseph more than all of his other children. Genesis 37, verse 3. After the eldest son, Reuben, sinned against his father, Genesis 35, verse 12, Joseph, as the eldest son of Jacob and Rachel, inherited the birthright and special blessing. This made him the head of the family in regard to spiritual and secular affairs. Before Jacob Israel died, Joseph brought his two sons to his father and received blessing and the birthright. 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1, Israel crossed his hands and laying his hands on their heads, blessed the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. He then said, let my name be named on them. Thus, his adoption of the two sons of Joseph created another tribe, making 13 tribes in all. Although Joseph was displeased that his father's right hand was laid upon the head of Ephraim, the younger brother, Israel refused to uncross his hands, so Ephraim was set before Manasseh. Genesis 48, 13 through 20. Thus Manasseh became the 13th tribe and received the promise of becoming a great nation. Ephraim was given the promise of becoming a company of nations. Much of the history of the now 13 tribes of Israel must, of necessity, be passed over here. The dramatic account of their sojourn in the land of Egypt for over 400 years, their great deliverance by the hand of God from the land, and the still greater deliverance at the Red Sea when God caused the waters to stand back while he led his people across on dry land to safety can be found in Exodus chapters 1 through 14. Finally, at Mount Sinai, God gave his people a code of laws, statutes, judgments, commandments, and ordinances, later ceased with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that was in parentheses. I know I said I wouldn't narrate, but I kind of disagree that. But I might be wrong. By which his kingdom on earth would be administered. Exodus chapters 19 through 40. The books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These laws covered every phase of both national and individual life, social, financial, economic, ecclesiastical, agricultural, farming, dietetic, and personal. The keeping of these laws and the promise and the assurance of God will result in perfect happiness and contentment with freedom from sickness. Concerning these laws, the psalmist wrote, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Psalm 19, verse 7. The people at Mount Sinai entered into Solomon covenant with their God and king. For they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." That's known as the marriage. Exodus 24, verse 7. And that is known as the first national covenant and must not be confused with the Abrahamic covenant, which was made some 400 years previously and which was unconditional. The covenant made at Mount Sinai was made conditional upon keeping of the laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments of God. So we find God laying before his people the conditions of this national covenant. If If they kept his laws, blessed would they be in all of their undertakings, blessed in the city and in the field, in the fruit of the ground, in their cattle and flocks, in assurance of certain victory over their enemies, and in health and prosperity among the people. But if they did not keep those laws, then the opposite would result. All of their diseases in cattle and in their own bodies, poverty and sickness would overtake them, and their enemies would again the victory, would gain victory in battle. All this may be read in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 26. Here, God warned Israel that if they persisted in continually breaking his laws, not only would curses come upon them, but he would punish them for seven times, a time of 360 years. Seven times would be 2,520 years. They would be punished from the land of Palestine. They would be banished from the land of Palestine and scattered among the heathen like lost sheep. Leviticus 26, verses 28 to 46. After entering the promised land, the people obeyed the laws of the kingdom and received the promised rewards. All went well for many years. Then they began to tire and wanted to be like other people around them. First of all, they desired an earthly king. And God said that although in doing so they rejected him, he would give them permission to have an earthly king. 1 Samuel 8, verses 7 through 22. Saul was then appointed as king, as Israel's first king. Later, he was removed because of sin, and God himself appointed David of the tribe of Judah to be the king over all Israel. Then God established an everlasting covenant with David that his throne and his house would endure forever, as long as the sun and the moon endured in the heavens. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, and Psalms 89, verses 3 through 4, and also verses 29 through 37. And that there would always be one of David's seed in of lineage to reign upon the throne over the house of Israel forever. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 17 through 26. So here we have an everlasting covenant made with Israel, made with the Israel people through their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom God named Israel. 2, the kingdom of Israel established forever. 3, the throne and the house of David established as a monarchical system over the house of Israel forever. So the house of Israel, the throne of David, and the everlasting covenant must exist today. Note, the throne of David was also the throne of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 23. And will yet be occupied by the risen Christ, the King of Israel. For the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 through 33. Remember, he has not yet occupied that throne. To return to David's reign, we find that he reigned 7 years over the house of Judah only, and then 33 years over all Israel, namely 13 tribes Israel, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. during his reign, while Israel kept the laws of God, prosperity was the result. Of that time, it was recorded, every man dwelt safely under his own vine and fig tree. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25. A perfect social order existed wherein dwelt righteousness. So wonderful and glorious was the kingdom that the kings and queens came from all parts of the earth to see the glories of the kingdom. But alas, Solomon, who succeeded his father David to the throne of Israel, began to sin against God, causing the people of the 13 tribes to sin. As a result of their sin, God then divided the kingdom into two kingdoms. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 29 through 36. Then the 10 tribes under the leadership of Ephraim formed the northern kingdom of Israel, with Samaria as their capital, and Jeroboam as their king. The two other tribes of Judah and Benjamin, with most of the tribe of Levi, formed what was known as the southern kingdom of Judah, with their capital located at Jerusalem, and Rehoboam was their king. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 16 through 20. Although Judah had received a large part of the tribe of Levi, he was still referred to as the two-tribed kingdom. The tribe of Levi, having received no inheritance with Israel, Deuteronomy 18, verses 1 through 2, was portioned among all the tribes for priestly duties. This did not remove Levi from being a distinct tribe, only from being numbered among the landed tribes. Although the scripture thereafter refers to the 12 tribes, or the 10th tribe and the two-tribed kingdoms, Manasseh remained numbered as the 13th tribe. The titles of the House of Israel and the House of Judah are used to designate the two kingdoms as they stand separated and in opposition to each other. The birthright tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, were included in the 10-tribe kingdom, House of Israel, while the tribe of Judah, to whom pertains to the throne or scepter through God's covenant with David, was part of the 2-tribe kingdom, House of Judah. The scepter and the birthright were separated then and here. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2. The king of Judah assembled his army together to use force to unite the kingdom, but God forbade it, saying he had divided the kingdom. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 21 through 24. Thus each was free and independent of each other, fulfilled their God-appointed destiny, one to fulfill the first covenant which the Lord had made with their father Abraham, that of having multitudinous seed, spreading abroad and becoming many nations, having over them, and the other to fulfill the second covenant, bringing forth the Messiah. After the division of Israel into two kingdoms, the people went deeper and deeper into sin. Finally, the warning which God had given them in Leviticus 26, that if they persisted in sinning, he would invoke the 7 times punishment and cause them to be removed from their land and scattered among the heathen, was put into effect. The Assyrians came against the northern kingdom, 10-tribed Israel, and defeated them in battles, carried them away captive into Assyria. They were put into Hala and into Harbor by the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. In one final invasion, the balance of the northern kingdom was removed into exile. The accounts of the invasions may be found in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 6 through 18, and chapter 18, verses 11 through 12. Some of the tribes had been removed in previous invasions by Assyria, 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 29. The cities of Samaria, once occupied by the people, the northern kingdom, were then repopulated by the Assyrians with captive people from Babylon, from Katha and from Ava, from Hamath and from Sepharvaim. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. These captives were not of Israel, were the Samaritans referred to by Jesus when he commanded his disciples not to go to the cities of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 10, verses 6. Note that the term house of Israel after the captivity of both kingdoms was often applied to the 13 tribes collectively, including Judah. Sometimes the word whole house of Israel, Israel wholly, and all of Israel were used. In spite of terrible experiences of the house of Israel, strange to say, the house of Judah did not learn their lesson or heed the warning, for the scripture states that they continued to sin more than the northern kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 6 through 11. So we find the same punishment being meted out to them, starting with a series of invasions by Sennacherib to them, king of Assyria, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. When a greater part of Judah was carried away captive to Assyria. This was also followed by the invasions of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. On these latter occasions, the captives of Judah were carried away by away to Babylon until finally they had all been removed from the land of Palestine. 2 chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 24, verses 11 through 14. The third invasion, 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 1 through 12, and then the final removal, 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 2 through 26, fulfilled God's warning to them in Leviticus chapter 26. This is where the modern churches fail to fully understand the scripture. They declare that because God had caused Israel from the land of Palestine, he cast them away forever in doing so. They teach God had brought his kingdom, established it at Mount Sinai to the end, and in its place had chosen what they term the Gentile church or the spiritual Israel. In contradiction to this theory, God is faithful. He cannot and will not lie. He will keep his everlasting covenant made with Abraham and his descendants, Israel. For if he cast his faith forever, they would no longer exist. Then God has lied, and he has been unfaithful. He has broken his everlasting covenant with them and is not dependable. But we know he does not and cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. No evidence in Scripture can be found. No evidence can be found in Scripture that God has cast away his people forever. Truth that God has not cast them off risk to be listed here. But a few should be mentioned. Read Leviticus 26, where God has warned Israel that a result from continued sinning would be removal from their land and scattered throughout the nations of the earth. But in this verse, we have God's definite statement that even when they were in the hands of their enemies, he would not cast them away, even for all their sins. He would not break his covenant with them. This is repeated in chapter 4, verses 26 through 31. Again in Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 9, after all of Israel had been scattered, God says, he has not cast them away. Then in closing, a book, Old Testament, Malachi, then in closing, excuse me, the book of the Old Testament, Malachi, God says to Israel, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I'm going to stop right there. For those of you that when you start next week, when we start next week, we're on page 10, the third paragraph. I hope you get a copy of the Abrahamic Covenant. Call the ministry, write the ministry, ask for a copy. I don't know how all that shakes out, but we're going to read this whole thing, and then we're going to go on to another book after that. But this book, the Abrahamic Covenant, is a good foundational book. And if you get a copy of this book and you do not have it, all those verses that I read out there, you can go back and reference and see exactly what Cap is speaking about. That way you know he's not making this stuff. So I can't wait to be with you guys next week. And with that, I am out of time. For those of you that belong to Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that. And just kind of funny how the way that the Holy Spirit works sometimes. Me and Zach try to get together on Saturdays and pray about the messages. And yesterday we were able to do that. And both of us, I had a very lengthy communion message on bringing. And Zach had a short message that he planned on bringing. And we prayed about it. And it just interesting that the way that sometimes you put a lot of effort into something and God just changes your plans at the snap of a finger. And it was interesting just the way that sometimes, but praise God for that. As we go to, I only got a few minutes here for communion, but some of the thoughts that I wanted to start off with was just, you know, couple things, and then I want to just go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. But you know, thanking our Heavenly Father for his body being broken so that ours may be whole, thanking our Heavenly Father for his blood being shed so that ours didn't have to, thanking our Heavenly Father for being nailed to the cross so that we didn't have to, and thankful for a command that would die for every one of his Christian soldiers, lay down his life for each and every one of us. And that's what he did. And, you know, we got a good commander in chief. Just somebody that walked the earth, the only one that was ever perfect, blameless, never did a wrong thing, never sinned. And, the only one that didn't deserve to die, died for me. And that's humbling. Let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, in this, prepare to eat of your body and drink of your blood. I pray, Father, for those of us that are here and those that partake abroad, that partake of this communion service with us, that are out there, whether it's during that shortwave, however they're hearing us, Lord, however they're joining us, we pray, Father, for them out there as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we don't want to forget any of your benefits, and we don't want to forget the price that was paid. We don't take this lightly. We thank you for it. We thank you for your body being broken whole. And Lord, we just come before you, and as we partake of this today, we ask, Father, that you heal our bodies from the inside to the outside, from the top to the bottom, that you heal us of any physical infirmities. Maybe it's mental infirmities. Maybe it's spiritual infirmities. We pray that as we put on the mind of Christ, we pray that as we partake of this, Father, that you forgive us of our sins. We pray, Father, that as we partake of this today, that you just do a mighty work in us. Help us to be better this next week than we were last week. Help us to take the obedience of Christ. Help us to have more of a love for you and your kingdom and your ways, and more of a hatred for the evil wickedness that we see in this land. We pray, Father, for more discernment of what is right and what is wrong, what of you and of the dark side. We pray that as we partake of this today, that we can be a better friend, a better brother, that we can have the humility that we need to in Christ Jesus, that we can have a better work ethic, that we can stay focused. Oh, Lord, we know that there's so many things that you can do. And, Father, we remember. We're grateful for this, and we're thankful for this, and we don't take it lightly. Jesus Christ, over this land, and just ask, Father, that you continue to expose the tares for who they are and what they're doing. We pray, Father, for them to be caught in their plots. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may partake. And the message we're going to have from Pastor Peters coming up is, there's more to see in the Gideon story. Coming up right about now.